Tonight, we're still in Romans lesson number 2 in the lesson book. We're ready for page number 7. We should be able to finish the chapter tonight. I knew this one would be a chapter we'll spend a lot of time on. And then from here on out, I expect, for the most part, we'll spend two weeks a piece on the chapters. Page number 7 of the lesson book. It's in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. A lot of things to discuss. As we said last week, this is a reflection of the modern world and upholds what the Bible said when it says, Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. And that's the truth. There's nothing new under the sun. People may create new ways or seemingly new ways to do things, but for the most part, the sin is still there, still the same. And I think hopefully you've seen that as we've gone over this this section of the chapter. Question number 10 is what we're ready for. And question number 10 says, name and define all the sins of which the Gentiles were guilty. So what was the first sin you found? You could actually say one before that. Filled with all unrighteousness.
Look at what I did. I included the earlier stuff and the list.
Yeah. Yeah, because so you got 21 through 24 stuff in there.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I think we're looking for 28 on.
Yes. Wickedness I mentioned next after fornication or sexual immorality.
Filled with all unrighteousness. Deeds violating law and justice. It's kind of the thought there. The second one, as you've already mentioned, somebody's already mentioned, is fornication. This, the word fornication here, what does it mean?
It's talking about sexual activity that's forbidden by God.
Absolutely. Sexual activity forbidden by God. And this is what I find interesting is it's a very inclusive term. Most people don't want to look at it that way, but it really is. It's a very inclusive term. I was pleased whenever some of the modern translations did not shun away from that word. They left it in the modern translation because it describes what it is. You know, your New King James and some of the others left this word out, and they put in their sexual immorality, which is a much softer sounding word. It doesn't sound as ugly. But I don't think it's as inclusive as the term fornication. Fornication includes adultery, fornication of all kinds, which would include homo as well as lesbianism, bestiality. It would include incest. And notice that first one I mentioned is adultery. See, some people, when it says sexual immorality, would not include that in this, but I do believe from what I was studying and on this word that is included in here. It is included in the word fornication. Bestiality. What do we know about bestiality? Monkeypox? That's where it comes from. AIDS, bestiality. So some have termed it those are perhaps the viruses and diseases that's pronouncing judgment on man from God. I don't know, but it's sure you could easily get that idea from that.
Who's spreading among the most common? The same sex community. Yeah.
The same sex community.
I mean, that's God saying, hey, this is not right. This is bad. Here's why. And it's not just because of the punishment that comes and that follows, but it's not fitting to begin with. It's against nature.
Yep.
Ted Robinson said the word about fornication. I like this because he said it's an umbrella term.
It is.
Several things that fall underneath it. And that always stuck with me because he's right. Even premarital sex is included in that. You know, and that's something our culture is completely fine with. Our culture is still not okay with homosexuality, even though a lot more people advocate for it now. But there's a lot more people that are against homosexuality in our culture, even though you wouldn't think that. It's openly, and the fact that we have a Pride Month, most of Americans aren't proud. Most Americans feel very similar to how we feel about it. It's gross and detestable, and this lifestyle is not ultimately good. There's a lot of people in America that do not agree with that.
Well, that's been proven every time it's come to a vote on a ballot. You know that is never passed in any state that's ever been on the ballot in the U.S.
Yeah.
I mean, how did they phrase the vote?
They ignored the vote. That's what they've done.
Well, I mean, how did they phrase it on the ballot?
Sometimes they
have
marriage.
Well, maybe rephrase, I guess, tone in there a little bit. Same-sex marriage. Same-sex marriage, just been on the ballot in several states. It's never passed, even in California. They voted on it, voted it down two times, not once, but twice. And so they just decided, the state decided we know better than the people, so they just throwed the vote out and passed the laws. There's been lots of discussion of whether that was, the way that was done was constitutional or not, but that's not just California. We got Maryland, Vermont. I can't believe I've let this slip my mind. There's several states that did this, and several of them did not even put it to a vote because they knew how the vote was going to turn out. So they just took care of it at their state legislatures. And another one I want to add there that might be on some of your minds a little bit that fits under fornication as well is what to teach children to do. All types of masturbation are under this, whether it be self or with somebody or with an object. That is included as well. Because, you know, I'm getting a funny look over an object, but some of these textbooks are teaching the children how to do these things with, like, vegetables and strap-ons and things of each to do with each other. That's all against God's will. That's all fits under, I believe, under the term of fornication, because it is sexual immorality. Yes, sir.
If we go back and look at the Israelites, when Moses went up on Sinai to get the Ten Commandments, talks about that they rose up to play. And if you read commentaries and all this, they had public displays of sex. In other words, they were doing it out open with their partners, with just other people, doing all kinds of things. And that's, when we think about they rose up to play, we don't discuss the fact that it was basically public displays. With golden head on the golden head of sex morality.
Yep. It's these things, these types of things we're talking about is God does not smile on this at all. Because it brings all kinds of bad things in someone's life when they treat sexuality in this fashion. Without getting in too much deeper into another discussion about it, but if you talk to people who waited till their wedding night to do it God's way, there is a benefit to that. All kinds of fornication. The next one is mentioned. What's the next one mentioned? Wickedness, yeah, or covetous is next. What does the wickedness mean in this context? Someone that has evil purpose and desire. That's their goal, their focus, is to do evil. That's where the purpose comes in. We do things that could be considered wicked, you know, by casual sin or something like that we didn't intend to do. That doesn't fit this, even though it might be a wicked deed. That wouldn't fit this definition. What would fit the definition is you planned it. You intended to do it this way. You intended this to do these evil things. It's purposeful evil. That's the wickedness we're talking about here. Premeditated. That would be a good way to look at it. I've already mentioned covetousness. What's covetousness?
Evil desire for what somebody else has.
Yep. Greed comes into that. And some even add to that, to this thinking here of the covetousness, is desiring to have more. So if you were to want your neighbor's stuff and you go lay hold of your neighbor's stuff, a truly covetous person would not stop at that. That would be the starting point. They're ready to go to the next neighbor, ready to go to the next person. So it's a very dark sin indeed. And we need to strive not to be that way. Malicious, or what's the next one? Maliciousness. So what's that?
I think it has to do with covetousness.
It could play into that. Maliciousness is desire to injure. Not necessarily, not just physically, but also emotionally. Wickedness that is not ashamed to break laws. It does it unashamedly, the desire and the act to injure another. People can have, if you think about it, what do we say about people that do something wicked to another person? We say that was a malicious act, don't we?
Or they have malicious intent.
Yeah, so we still kind of use that in our everyday thinking.
I looked up the word for wickedness in the Greek.
Yep.
Poneria, not porneia, poneria, and it means properly pain, laborious struggle, properly pain-ridden evil, pain pure and simple, resulting in toil, drudge, things of that nature. So
it's bad.
Yeah, it's where basically you are. Even though you're doing it to your own hurt, you're still doing it. You know how some sins are detrimental to you. Some sins are detrimental to the body, some to the mind, some to the soul. But regardless of it, you're doing it anyway.
Yes. That's where the purpose comes in.
It means pain, basically. You're willing to pain yourself or trouble your own soul over certain things. So, yeah, it's an interesting definition.
Letter E or F, full. What's the next one? Full of envy. Yep, so what does that mean? It can include that. When this envy, somebody that's envious has got a lot of passion towards the maliciousness. Smith's even, huh? Yes, Smith defines it as jealous. There you go, unrighteous jealousy.
Because a husband can be rightly jealous over his wife, or a wife rightly jealous over her husband. If, like, say, one was unfaithful to the other, that would stir up a man's jealousy. Jealousy is the rage of a man. Proverbs 6 talks about this. And so there is a righteous form of jealousy, and then there is an unrighteous form. And envy is the unrighteous form of jealousy. We all experience jealousy because we're created after the image and likeness of God. So we're going to experience the same types of emotion, but man often lets it go on the wrong side. You might say the dark side of the emotion in this regard. There's a good form of jealousy to have toward our devotion to God and helping others to stay devoted to God. Zealous and jealous are almost synonymous. You might remember Elijah in the Old Testament is a great example of someone who was zealous or jealous for the Lord. And his zeal was very strong in his day, and it helped turn a lot of people back to God. But, yeah, this is the opposite. This is the dark side of it, you might say.
Yes.
God can be jealous of us in that he desires our devotion to him.
That's a righteous jealousy, yeah.
And jealousy, a lot of times, what man has is a destructive type. In other words, say Tim gets a new car, and I'm jealous of it. You know, because he's got it, I don't want him to have a new car, and I go out there and heat it.
Yes, that's bad. Yep. This jealousy brings us or causes us to be envious of what the other has.
Just a heads up on, I was just going to add to that. Covetousness kind of tends toward the material things, possessions. That's kind of where coveting your neighbor's wife, coveting, their possessions, their belongings, it almost falls back to covetousness.
Envy is more the emotion. Envy is more the emotional side of covetousness. Right. Murder.
Premeditated
killing. Some of your dictionaries, Bible dictionaries, define it as slaughtering. Next one is debate.
The debate here is talking about the Bible. For example, Paul, when he was at Ephesus, he was debating that. When he was at Athens, he debated. But the debate here is talking about a person, two people discussing about things that are unnecessary or that are obviously false. They can be false scripturally or false in nature. For example, say you and I got a debate about whether the world was flat or not. That's what it's talking about. It's particularly talking about God.
Yep, it carries on the idea of strife and wrangling, this pointless arguing and contention. Deceit.
Jacob and Esau.
There you go, being crafty, right? He deceived his brother. crafty guile, a trick. Set up a decoy to potentially mislead. That plays into it. That's very, deceit can really stir up things, especially when it comes to misdirection. Malignity. This would be like malicious craftiness, or someone having an evil mindedness is one of the way Thayer's defined it. Whenever you think about someone who's participating in malignity, that's a good word we use every day, isn't it? Not at all. And if you think about it, it fits this definition. It's proper definition. That's right. It's evil. It's in there.
It'll kill you.
It's trying to get you. And then whisperers. Yeah. Yep. Somebody being a slanderous person also plays into this as well. Slander comes into being whisperers. Backbiters.
That's a person that goes to one person and says one thing and then goes to another and says another. So those two people get
Yep. They're defaming the character. They're trying to tear them down, being evil, speaking evil of them. Haters of God.
That one's kind of self-explanatory, that when somebody is resistant to God's will or just outrightly opposed to the will of God, I mean, this.
Yeah, they have no love for God or His creation. What's that?
No affection for God.
That's right. No affection for God. When I was sitting down looking at this, thinking about the context, you know, the verses prior to that where it's talking about the misuse of the creation. So that's why I added that to it. No love for God or His creation. Despiteful.
That's doing something. We think about use the word spite. It's doing something to somebody to harm them just because we don't like them or want to hurt them.
Yep,
it's really the same thing as spite.
We're trying to get them fired up. Trying to get them fired up. One who heaps insulting language upon another, or does them some shameful act of wrong. They're just trying to get them fired up. We're proud.
Arrogant, high-minded.
Yep, showing oneself above somebody else.
Satanic.
Yeah.
God says He hates it.
He does. Hates
first
it.
First in the list.
Boasters.
That's where you speak proudly. That's where you're speaking haughtily or speaking arrogantly.
And you can't back it up.
Self-promoters.
That's a good one. Self-promoters.
Remember,
it's empty.
1 Corinthians 13, according to agape love, it doesn't do this.
That's right, it's not a boaster.
Of the attributes of true love is it does not vaunt itself or boast itself or behave itself unseemly in such a way as this.
Inventors of evil things. Do what? Yeah, we do. Someone's an inventor of evil thing, they're dreaming up evil. That's the invention.
Filthy dreamers is the way Jude would call them, as he writes in his epistle, is using your imagination for the purpose of evil. Noah's day was very much filled with this, and I think our day is not much different, unfortunately. As God said about Noah's day, from his youth up, man's thoughts are only evil continually. And so this is something man struggles with. If we do not put good into our soul and into our hearts and minds, if we don't put God's word in our hearts and minds, this is what will come instead. This is what will come.
Yep.
We will be inventors of evil things. I mean, if you're not focused on serving God, you might as well pursue after worldly things, right? I mean, what is left? If you don't love God, if you're a hater of God, and you're not interested in the things of God, you might as well live it up and enjoy what you got in this life, because that's all you're going to have. That's not the mentality to live by, but that's the way a lot of people approach this life.
That ends up being the end result.
Yes.
Next is disobedient to parents.
We multiply by that every day.
That's right. Don't listen to them. Won't listen to them. And parents not being parents.
Parents and children, friends, things, old children raise the parents rather than the parents raise
the parents. Yep. And we have seen that so many times.
Well, they can put them in social services and taxpayers can pay for it.
Yep.
All of them are mental state from that.
And really, the disobedient, thinking of this time in terms of disobedient to parents, it ends up being a godly thing. If you won't listen to your earthly parents, why would you listen to your heavenly Father? So there's a lot of connection there. And also to authority, authority figures and so forth. The ones that's disobedient to parents, they're probably not going to honor any kind of authority as well. It's a bad place to be. And once again, this is a taught behavior. some years ago, my sister, they was fighting with one of the kids, and they said, oh, she's going through the terrible twos, the terrible threes, and if we're not careful, she's going to go through the terrible fours. So they was having a hard time making her do something, and I said, all you got to do is win. It don't have to be pretty. You just got to win. It's funny because, or I shouldn't say funny, it's the way it's supposed to be, but through that struggle and through that fight, now they have an obedient child. And I think a lot of people give up before they can get to that point. They just want to give up. And through my observation of some of the things too, as you heard me mention the other day about fathers, one of the problems is fathers are not present to help out with the discipline and with the instruction of their children, as the book of Ephesians requires men to do, is to be part of that process as well. Go ahead.
Some parents today think they have to give in to the child alone.
And that's not at all true.
It's often the opposite of that.
It is.
And because they have to give in and whatever the child wants, and the thing about it is, when the child gets grown, they have to give in to them. And they never love their parents, true love of their parents, because the parent gave in.
What does the proverb say about this? Spare the rod, spoil the child. Talking about the rod of discipline. If you don't discipline your children, you're going to lose them. My grandmother used to say about my mother, oh, it'd been nice you'd been sitting there tonight. I've heard her say that she goes, I had to whip her so much when she's little, I was afraid she's going to hate her when she got older. And my mama would say, well, mama, I couldn't love you more. Piggybacking on what you were saying, you know, sometimes our people's perception of what is different than what reality is. We want to perceive that that's the case. You know, and also remember that piggybacks off Dr. Spock, talking about the negative side of it, way back. That, you know, him and that theory.
Respect and honor, gratitude, these are foundational issues. I mean, it does, like you said, parallel ultimately to God. If you give in to the child, like we were talking about, you always give it to that child and you never take a stand against something they're wanting and you know ultimately it's not going to be beneficial to them. What have you taught them? If they persist enough, then even God or anybody will ultimately accept what I want and, you know, they'll be okay with it. If I push hard enough for it, they'll see that I deserve it. And that's a very... If we can't grow up learning to respect people, not just authority, but just have respect for others and show honor to whom honor is due and appreciation to whom appreciation is due, you are a miserable human being. You've got no business being on this planet. If you can't honor your father and mother, if you can't be obedient to your parents, you got no business on this planet. That's why he cursed his father and mother when he died of death. That's in the law of Moses for a reason.
Yeah, they would take them outside the city and do the deed.
You can appreciate and be thankful for the fact that you exist because of these people and because they took care of you and kept you alive. You can't have some speck of gratitude and respect for that. You got no business being here.
Next.
Did you have some?
Well, I was going to tell you there was a funeral about 2 years ago, a young girl about mid-20s. And she died from an overdose, and she'd been in rehab. And her brother got up at her funeral and said that, you know, he was sorry that his sister died and that he was in trouble because they brought him in from prison from Arizona Las Vegas, because he was in prison. And he said they said, I'm sorry about the whole situation, but we were never taught to respect authority. teach your children to respect authority. And I mean, that should be everybody, you know. So that was something that I...
Well, it was truth spoken.
Well, it was because, you know, I knew the parents.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know this lady, and her daughter died of an overdose in her late 20s. She would be in her 40s now, she were blind. And her mother, she could do no wrong in her mother's eyes. She got whatever she wanted, whenever she wanted. And her mother, in this paper I was talking about a while ago, she was trying to buy her daughter a book. All she did was throw her away.
Yep. I don't understand why people can't, by observation, figure that out. Just by observation. Maybe they don't know enough of the personal lives of other people to make that observation. I don't know.
Well, you know, Brian, you think your family, and you know you've heard this 100 times, you probably did. But as we're all sitting around, and one of us has the kids, and their kids are running around, and the ones that don't have them, looking at each other and saying, "Why kids are never going to do that." And then you have the kids, and guess what? They're even worse than your sister's kids.
You know? Yep.
And the sister's kids get better, and then you know when you got them, then you like, oh well, they're only cutting up. You know, they go through that growth period. That happens all the time, but usually you get them together, you know.
Leads into the next one, like you're saying.
Yep.
Very next thing is without understanding.
Yeah, I was looking at that. The next, what does without understanding mean?
So that you show thyself approved of your God's work, and may not be ashamed, rightly divided.
That's how you fix it.
They don't study.
That's right. I thought this definition was interesting. It just, in the Thayer's Bible Dictionary, it puts stupid for that verse. Stupid, yeah.
It's lacking discernment.
It's lacking discernment.
If you can't judge between the right thing to do and the wrong thing to do, and what scenarios fit an actual application of truth, like we had a whole discussion about this a long time ago, and what's in our Bible class about, you know, 1 Thessalonians 4, I think it's 11 through 13 or 11 and 12, 1 Thessalonians 4, where it talks about how we should work and do our business quietly, so that we can provide for, you know, not only our needs, but for those that are without, and be a blessing to others, you know, and that we might have need of nothing. Well, I was making a point in the Wednesday night Bible class that this is why we should not support the Salvation Army, not only because it's a religious denomination and they teach religious error, but also because it's against the principle of the New Testament. The New Testament does not teach us to go out and beg the world for money to support the Lord's work. We're not authorized to do that. Timothy Harris is not authorized to stand on a street corner and ask money for the Lord's work. If I want the Lord's work to be done, I have to support it myself, and fellow members of the Lord's church have to support that work. If brethren can't agree on that, they ain't my brother. Okay?
Well,
and that's what's so crazy. And then somebody tried to bring up something else that didn't fit. Like, could you be treated at the Baptist Hospital in Nashville then? Because that's a religious organization. Well, no, it's not. It's certainly not a religious organization in the sense of a church. The Salvation Army is a church. It is a group of people that gather, that have certain beliefs, including forbidding people to ever take the Lord's Supper. Just one error they teach among many. That's one thing. Going to a hospital, just because it has the name Baptist on it, doesn't mean you're sinning by going to that particular hospital.
Well, that's
it is not in any way, shape, form, or fashion the same thing as far as a religious institution goes.
Well, that
you're mission work, you're supporting error, you're supporting things that are not good ultimately, even though they say, like, all of this goes to, you know, feeding the poor or whatever.
Well, they don't have to worry about Baptist Hospital anymore because it's gone.
Yeah.
St. Thomas is too. They just still use the name. It's really Ascension.
But that's an example of lacking discernment.
Yep.
Lacking understanding. The fact that people can't differentiate between two different things and how a scenario and truth applies to this and not to that.
Well, that's why it's without understanding.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, in, you know, the opposite of that, we have understanding. Why? Because of the information we get from God. That's why we have understanding. All right, I guess we'll stop at this one.
Let's keep going.
Let's finish this list.
All right. Covenant breakers.
Not keeping your word.
Not keeping your word, or as some would say, the faithless in this context. Without natural affection.
Natural affection being in reference to parent for child, child for parent, but it could also be in reference to male, female, female for male.
Yep. As it did in earlier verses, talking about women with women and men with men, saying it's unnatural. Also, when I've read this unnatural affection, I've thought about in the family setting, since some of this seems to tie into that in this section, that there are those, the way they treat their parent, children, is not natural. Through the abuse and the killings and things like that, that's not natural. They're supposed to love their children, love their offspring. So that's a pretty broad one right there, I believe.
Definitely covers
it. Definitely, I was thinking about that too. Yeah, because that's not natural. If it was natural, people would do it, or naturally do it. But no, that's not natural either. Implacable. It can.
Persistent in a bad thing.
Cannot be persuaded. Can you read my writing?
Can't talk to that guy.
You can't persuade them into a covenant, to enter into a covenant. In other words, that'd be somebody to be wishy-washy. Their word is no good because they would not back their word up with a covenant or with anything that needs it. And I believe this was the last one, unmerciful.
Mercy means unmerited favor.
And
if you're unmerciful, then you don't care about, just like you hit, I saw you on the side of the road, you got a red, I waved and drove by.
It's kind of like the be warmed and filled concept, isn't it? Someone who's unmerciful, they're not kind, they're not compassionate whatsoever, wouldn't act on the compassion. That's why it's unmerciful. And I think about how God is so merciful to us. The fact that the earth is standing shows God's grace, long-suffering, and mercy. Because he's allowing people a chance to repent. Every day that the earth stands, because the wrath of God will never be satisfied fully until it's done.
Job was the exact opposite of unmerciful. He was eyes to the blind, a guide to the blind. He was the widow's song because he visited them in their time of affliction. He was a blessing to people. He was not a man that shut his ear at the cry of the poor. He lent, he gave freely and willingly because they were in need, and he wanted to be a blessing because he knew he was on this earth for that reason, to be a blessing and not a curse. And so,
Well, verse 32, which is the next question, is another example of God's grace. What is the judgment of God on those who do such things?
They're worthy of death.
Worthy of death, yep. The fact he lets us live is evidence of his mercy. Even though the Gentiles knew this, what still was their conduct? What's that? Yep. So what does this mean here, to have pleasure in them that do them? They got their approval, right? Stamp of approval. So this is okay. They encourage it.
That's the consenting part, I think. The having pleasure part is going further than that in a way, because it makes you feel better about your sin problem. Makes you feel, at least not a lot, that person over there, way better off than this But it gives reassurance because humanity as a whole is in sin. I mean, the whole world life in sin, as John says it, 1 John 5, 19 and 20. And so when people are going in on the same path, there comes this point of camaraderie, agreement, you know, and it shouldn't be that way, but that's the way people tend to be. We shouldn't fellowship sin. We shouldn't agree with sin. And it's a challenging thing to stand against it because the whole world's in it.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, you know, I kind of put down that they enjoy watching, hearing, or reading about it. And then I thought about Jerry Springer. I mean, I could not stand to watch it. But then other people told me, they said, well, I don't know all that stuff is going on. Is that really going on? And, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm learning. I need to know. You know, it's almost like you need to know your enemy so that you can, to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
What
I want us to do is read this verse, see if you caught something in there. Who know the judgment of God, talking about these people we just described, and they knew God through nature. These people had once knew God, now they have fallen away and into denying who God is. All right, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, in other words, they participate, but have pleasure in them that do it. They like to see it going on.
Me, I don't know whether y'all notice how many liquor stores there are in Atlanta.
Too many.
I mean, I can remember when it wasn't basically what
it was. Just moonshine.
Okay, and then they've got them on every corner. And basically, when you see the commercials on TV, they're promoting the look, you can pick out most of the things, the sins that they're doing while they're drinking.
Well, you remember what the proverb says, wine is a mocker.
Strong drink,
yeah, it's a mocker.
But you see all these people half dressed, you see them, they think they're having fun, and then the other people sit around and watch them do all these hideous things.
Now, what is a mocker? What do you say?
Well, it's a mocker because of the way you're acting. It's mocking you, in that, huh?
You're poisoning your bloodstream. So.
Well, you're poisoning yourself, but you're making a fool of yourself is what we would say. You're making a fool of yourself. And it's mocking you by causing you to sin and do these things. You know, when somebody goes out and, quote, has a good time, and, you know, well, like that commercial they played last year, you know, of how much, you know, basically how much does it cost to get a ticket? You know, it's around 10 grand, and they go through the steps, you know, and then you have the one that shows the guy that says he don't remember what he done last night, but yet he's in jail or in trouble or whatever. It made a mocker out of him. Yeah, it made a fool out of him.
Just think about all the young girls who get drunk, and pull off their clothes.
Well, not just girls, guys
well,
too.
Guys
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
It makes, like you say, it makes a fool out of it.
Yep.
And not how it done it unless you've been drinking.
To me, one of the good things that the Bible says about this is you go to Proverbs 31. I call them the most ignored verses in the Bible. Because everybody skips down. A few verses talk about what a virtuous woman is. That's what that chapter's used for. But it doesn't start out that way. It starts out by King Lemuel, or Lamuel, however you want to say it, a proverb that his mother gave him. And basically what she tells him is, don't drink. Why? Because they'll take advantage of you. Don't drink. They'll make a fool of you. She's just giving him this advice. Because you are king, because you're in a high spot, you will probably have it be made a fool of if you drink. Yeah, if you drink. And to me, that's a great argument right there, what she had to say to her son to keep him safe. All right, true or false? We'll run through these right quick. The visible things of God are clearly seen.
False.
Yep, verse 20. The Gentiles began to worship images.
True.
Verse 23. The uncleanness of the Gentiles came through their own lust.
True.
Verse 24. Many of the Gentile men and women were homosexuals.
True.
Excuse me, verse 26 and 27. They received just punishment for their deeds. True. Verse 27. Disobedient children are displeasing to God.
True.
True. Verse 30. Any other questions or comments as we close? All right. Appreciate everybody's attention and your input this evening.